And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus on this Wednesday. We're almost to June, May 28th, and temperatures outside in the 60s across the area. There's a few 70s in the far northern valley where there's a little more sunshine. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, along with our Ag Director Bridget Riedel. And is it Willie Nelson on the road again? Is that right, Addison? Is that who sings that?
I think so.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so where is Bridget?
Well, I'm back at our wheat field. I wanted to give that a look today. I was going to do it yesterday, but due to a low tire on my pickup, that took priority, you know, maintenance. And wheat right now, we're at about the 3 to 4 leaf stage. I've asked our farmer cooperators, the Ulund, if they've had an opportunity to spray the field yet. That should be happening fairly soon. But if you're watching us on our live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Acres TV at WDAY Weather and Ag in Focus, you'll see pictures of our field looking really right at the ground surface. So you can see our wheat size right now. I've also added some pictures of what it looks like basically as we pan the field. But our wheat crop looks good. Even those areas last week that were washed out, or I should say sitting with water, that's pretty much dried up. Things look really nice out here. So I'm excited to see our wheat progress. This is good weather for it.
It looks good. It looks good. Boy, did it dry out. That didn't take long, did it, after all the rain from last week. Wow.
Nope.
Good deal.
Good subsoil moisture going in now. That we appreciate.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, and we've got more rain in the forecast, but nothing, at least in the short term. In fact, we've got partly cloudy skies throughout much of the area. And as I said earlier, temperatures in the 60s for most of us, but 70s in the Northern Valley and out into northwest Minnesota. And we're looking at temperatures today topping out generally in the low 70s, a little cooler in the 60s, far Southern Valley, Lakes Country for the rest of the afternoon. And then as we head into tomorrow, we're going to see generally partly cloudy skies. We'll see a little more sunshine than we had today, and highs tomorrow. An ideal day, mid to upper 70s across the area, and winds lightly blowing out of the west. Now, the winds do increase a little bit as we head into the end of the week, and it's going to be a little warmer with highs in the mid 80s on Friday. And summer heat returns for the weekend. It looks like we'll have highs in the upper 80s to near 90 for both Saturday and Sunday. So, boy, that'll be a nice boost to the crops, a little summer heat there, and then more rain and storms in the forecast as we head into early next week, Monday to Tuesday. So we're looking good there in terms of moisture and, you know, a little summer heat. Then we get some moisture. We are looking, excuse me, at the possibility of severe weather middle and end of next week throughout the northern and central plains. Not a guarantee that's going to happen, but there is that chance. We're starting to see the setup of likely severe weather in the northern and central plains. We'll kind of keep an eye on that. Obviously, we don't want to see that for the crops, Bridget. We don't need any hail-producing storms or any high wind events either, but something we'll definitely keep an eye on. But widespread inch or more rain is likely next week with about 2 or 3 combined storms. In some areas could pick up close to 2 inches. So, and again, it'll come in, looks like it'll come in two or three waves, between, Monday night and, Friday of next week. So, not all at once, which is good news, but, some more, I mean, we could still use some moisture, so that's good news. And, you know, we got a little bit of everything. We got the summer heat coming. We got a little rain after that. So, this should really help out a lot of the crops as well.
Please do me a favor. If we have potential storms coming, I'd like to not have lightning as I fly in a great big giant metal tube to Indiana next week. I would prefer not to be delayed due to a lightning storm. So there's my order for weather. That's what I'd like the best. So pardon the traffic behind me as I am actually out in the field. And speaking of out in the field, we're going to be joined by our first guest today, and that is Matthew and Eleanor Heyer. They are with Heyer Agri-Drone Service. I think Addison might have them connected. And so, excellent. If we can start to talk with those folks, I want to know how it's going out in the drone world today. Hi, Eleanor.
Hi. It's going good.
What do you guys doing? I mean, we can see you on our live stream. So again, for folks watching, catch us on Facebook, YouTube, Acres TV. But tell us what's going on in the field today, Eleanor.
We've sprayed some for so far. It's about to start some rye, but we had a motor burn up, so we're replacing that.
Okay, how long is that going to take to fix? This, if a motor burns up in a bigger piece of equipment, this is a long haul to take care of.
I'm almost done.
I've heard those words before.
Yeah, I don't really even see any jack stands. Oh, yeah, you just show us that again. Hold that up.
Don't worry.
Yeah. Okay, I can see what you're looking at. You take the old one off, slide the new one in. How often does a motor burn out for you?
Just kind of depends. I don't know. We've only had to replace a couple. But we've also had a few accidents that have probably caused that.
Oh. Well, I'm not your priest or your mother. You don't have to tell me about the accidents, and I'm certainly not your insurance agent. So, all right, tell us a little bit more. You've been spraying today, but what are some of the projects you have been doing over the last few weeks out in the field?
We've just done a lot of pasture. What else did we? We did some corn.
Pre-plant on beans. Pre-emerge.
And then we got a lot of pasture lined up, and we have some more corn lined up here in the next couple weeks here. But hopefully the weather holds down. It looks kind of windy next week, so.
Okay, that's a great point right there. When you say the wind, how much wind causes you downtime?
Oh, anything over 10 gets tough to do it in, you know. And that's what the chemicals don't want you spraying that in that much wind either, so.
Well, we've got great spraying weather today and tomorrow. And we were just commenting earlier that, I mean, it's pretty odd that with the light wind regime we've had around here over the last 3 to 4 days, outside of any pop-up showers, you'll get little gusty winds out ahead of that. But, I'm guessing you're doing quite a bit of work over the last few days with these nice conditions and light winds.
Yeah, it's been nice. You can keep bringing this.
So as you are out in the field, do you ever run into trouble where you have to swap out like a tank that you're thinking, okay, I want to dedicate this so I don't ever worry about cross contamination? How does some of that work?
No, we just rinse them out like regular beer you would on regular water, and small, you know, they only hold 10 gallons, so it isn't hard to get it empty, and then just rinse them out, clean them. The only problems we have out in the with mechanical stuff is here and there, and then, you know, like a motor today, so it's, unless we hit something, then it gets a little more catastrophic, but we haven't had any too much of that this year, so.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So what are you having to do as far as, like, do you have to fly the field first with some sort of a GPS software before you start sending the drone out? What does that look like for you from start to finish on a field?
So it's all based off a satellite. You know, like Google Maps, kind of, you can see that all those pictures via satellite. So then you can just plot out your points of the field on the remote, and then it makes a map. I could go get a remote quick if we have enough time, and then I could kind of show you what it does. But then it'll create a route that the drone flies, and it'll start out yellow, and then as you fly the path, it'll turn green, showing like what you did. And then if you say stop to, like, you have to refill or something, then it'll like mark that point, so then it can restart there, so you're never missing a spot.
And Eleanor, you said something, I believe you said, what, those drones hold 10 gallons, is that correct?
Yeah, 10 and a half.
So how often do you have to refill?
Well, the battery, I mean, if you're going, it depends on the distance that you're going and if you run into, or if you have any obstacles or like whatever, but I'd say about every 5 to 6 minutes, you're probably changing out batteries.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And filling.
Okay. Because
you can usually, if you're on a good field or like a flat pasture, you can run that and you can empty a tank in that amount of time and still come back with a 40% battery still.
And how long does it take, like, per acre when you're using the drones?
I think you get about a minute or an acre
you get
a
about
minute.
40 acres an hour.
So. Yeah, or 40 acres an hour.
Okay. All right.
For one drone. So.
All right. Well, Eleanor, you were going to get the remote, so we can see that on video as well. Let's make sure we check in with the American Ag Network. And when we return, let's see what Eleanor and Matthew are up to out there in the field with their AgriDrone service. Again, we have Eleanor and Matthew Heyer with us. They're from the Leonard area. We're going to talk more about their drone, and they're going to show that off just a little bit. We'll be back.
Oh, welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus, where it's as busy as a one-arm sheep trimmer cutting wool off of the lambs. Now, I would also want to point out that if things aren't as smooth as that sheep after you've sheared them, well, maybe that's your technology, and you might want to talk to Chris Sherman with Tech Support Farm. He's going to help you out. He can say that smoother than I can, too. So he's going to make sure that all of your encryption is good, that you're using the right password, and so much more. Don't forget to go look at that fence check self-assessment on techsupportfarm.com. Okay. So much action going on today. And do not forget, we're going to be giving away a rain gauge today in Wednesday Weather Trivia. We'll be doing that later. But first, we're still in the field with Eleanor and Matthew Heyer. They are with Heyer AgriDrone Service. And all right, Eleanor, I hear that you took a quick ride across the field and you've got something to show us. What's going on over there?
Yep. Okay, so I guess this is kind of how you do it. So you can plot your, like, say you have your field here. This isn't a very...
Okay.
Okay, I'll start here. So you got your field here. So then you kind of just...
Waypoint added.
Add in these points around your field.
Adding
and
points.
You can get close up to the trees.
Oh, okay. So you really don't have to worry
you
about any
get
gap.
Right on the line. On
okay.
Nope. Okay, so I'll just end it there.
Waypoint added.
And you can move them.
Okay.
And you can add, like, obstacles here. So, like, say there's a tree in the middle.
Obstacle point added.
You can mark that out if it'll let me here. Oh.
And, Eleanor, for those not familiar with drone spraying, how much time and money is saved using drone via just your conventional spraying?
I don't know. Like, so you're not running over your crops, so you're probably saving, I mean, what you're paying to have somebody else come spray it with the drone.
Okay.
We can do 40 acres an hour. I don't know exactly what a sprayer can do, you know, in an hour, but you're also running over your crops, and
we're
a little more accurate than a spray plane because we can get right up to the trees for the most part, I mean, without spraying them.
And how close are you over the crop canopy when you're actively spraying?
10 to 12 feet usually, just so we can get that, the propulsion, like, into the crop, and it blows it into the crop, whereas the plane kind of just dusts it over the top.
Mm-hmm. And where are you finding you're doing the most this year? Is that, like you mentioned, a number of pasture things, but do you anticipate you'll have more acres doing pasture versus, say, fungicide?
I mean, once the crops pick up here more, I think we're going to be about half and half. That's what we were last year. We do have a lot of pasture this year so far, but we might be getting about 700 acres of corn here in the next couple weeks. So, I mean, it'll be pretty close.
It's going to be busy. What do you need for licensing for your service, by the way? I'm pretty sure it's not just we bought a drone today and tomorrow we spray.
No, there's plenty of different licenses that you need. You have to get licensed through the FAA. You need your 137. You need your Part 107. You need your actual pilot's license. There's so many different exemptions that you have to get that it's commercial applicator's license. I mean, you have to get, what is it? You have to get licensed through the state and like the government or and like the federal government. So there's different ones for just state. I don't even remember. We sent in for all those. We paid the company that we bought them from to send most of the big ones in that had to go to DC to get approved and stuff.
I think that's probably a faster way to get things done. So, okay, folks have been looking at other different options, whether, you, like you mentioned, aerial application, drone spraying, ground rigs. I would say that right now our ground rigs are really busy. In fact, I know that there's some areas that don't have as many as they want to. You get breakdowns. Everybody does. If there's a farmer out there thinking, or a rancher who's got pasture and is thinking, I need to investigate this drone service further, Eleanor, how should they be getting a hold of you? Where can they find you so folks can start making those types of appointments to get on the list, you might say?
Just give us a call or just, you can call me, text me at 712-388-9046. Or you can call my dad, Matt, at 701-238-7470.
All right. It looks like it's been a successful about year and a half. You guys have been in business. Congratulations. I'm glad to hear all the acres are stacking up for you.
Yeah, it'll be good.
There it goes. We can see that the drone has launched. The motor has been repaired. Cool. All right, folks. That's just one thing we're doing today. We'll be back to talk with Vision Ford and our Here We Grow project right after this.
And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. It's 1:35 in the afternoon. I want to thank everybody for joining us. And our guest now is Ward Cater. Ward's from Vision Ford. Welcome, Ward.
Good afternoon. And, great to be here.
Yeah, all right. So tell us a little about your business.
Yeah, so it's been a great run. I've been in the business about 32 years, but I bought Vision Ford Lincoln actually this month 9 years ago. So it's been a great experience focusing in a different approach to the business. The typical is we try and herd you into the showroom like cats and put the pressure on you.
Oh, yeah.
Vision Ford Lincoln, we take a completely different approach. We actually try and make it so you literally never have to come to the dealership.
Okay.
So whether you're test driving a vehicle, you actually purchase the vehicle, or if you need maintenance or service after the fact, we step up and take care of all of that for you.
Now we hear a lot on TV, you see nationwide commercials about employee pricing. That's the big thing now. Explain to us what that's about and how long is that going to go on?
Yeah, so it's an amazing thing. Ford is truly run by the Ford family, which is unique and different. Their family members make the calls or get involved with everything. They were so quick to offer that up, which gave us a great edge. And the employee pricing isn't a gimmick. It's an amazing price. You can actually buy the vehicles cheaper from me than I can buy them from Ford Motor Company.
Wow.
So it's an amazing program they put together to help it work for everybody. And it keeps America going and growing, and it's really a big deal to keep the industry moving. It impacts a lot of other industries.
Now, is that just new vehicles, or is that new and used?
Yeah, so it's new Lincolns, new Fords in my world. So it's good on just about every vehicle out there. There's a few exclusions on some brand new vehicles coming out, but that pricing is available on just about everything that Ford Motor Company offers between Ford and Lincoln brands. So yeah, it's exciting. It's an incredible offer. It sounds like it's going to be here to the beginning of July, right before the 4th. So there's still some opportunity, but it's been so successful that we can see everywhere the inventories are diminishing quickly. So
that's good.
It's not a sales pitch. I seriously would look into it. We would love to help you go through that experience.
Any chance you think Ford will extend that past July?
I don't know. Hard to tell, but it's going really well. It was supposed to end in early June, and they went past to July. Okay. So we're going to – I think we might be done in July, but you never know.
Gotcha.
So as someone who has driven Fords, I got to tell you, my two very favorite things about my Ford half-ton were the movable pedals, because I'm not exactly an overly tall adult.
There you go.
And then also – the 36-gallon fuel tank, that was phenomenal. For those who are on the road a lot and you don't want to have to stop every 15 minutes to fuel up, please keep that coming. If Ford factory would like any type of feedback, that was the best things ever in that pickup.
You know, it's a great point. Those little things are what makes Ford stands out, especially F-150. F-150 sells roughly 1 million a year.
Wow.
There's a lot of manufacturers across their entire brand that don't sell 1 million vehicles, and Ford does just on the pickup. So it's a big deal. It's because of the features, adjustable pedals. It's the big fuel tank in our world, so you're not running to the gas station, you know, once a week type thing. They do a great job with the keypad on the outside of the vehicle. We're the only manufacturer that you can type a code in and unlock your vehicle. We all lock our keys in on occasion. This gets a get-out-of-jail-free pass, so it's a great option. Lots of details they put together.
Good deal.
And the history that Ford has with the farm is tremendous. For those who might not know, and oh, by the way, don't forget, if you want to call in and ask questions, you certainly can on the JLA Insurance phone line at 701-293-9000. But Ford's connection goes all the way back to Henry Ford, believing that not only should every farm have a Model T, but a Ford tractor. And he spent a lot of time developing tractors. So maybe that's your next extension of a promotion, Ward, is making sure people understand you should have a Ford pickup and a tractor.
That's a really interesting. I toured his home and everything in Dearborn, and it was phenomenal to see that. He really did start as a tractor manufacturer. Of course, going through the war, he got involved in producing planes. It's amazing what the Ford family's done over the 100-and-some-year history, because they really adapt to what's in the world and what's going on. Even during COVID, they got involved and produced all kinds of personal protection, different products, health-related things. They literally changed their plants over in a matter of a few days, week, and they get involved in what's going on in the world. It's impressive.
That's great.
Yeah, it really is.
That's great. Now, you're based down in Wahpeton, but you do business all over the country, you were saying.
We really do. When I first bought it in May, 9 years ago, that was part of my criteria was I needed to be within an hour of an airport, and I wanted to have a lot of real estate so I can improve my inventory. And we needed easy accessibility, meaning through technology. We're very excited. We're very proud of the level of technology we use. So if you want to look at a vehicle, we'll literally drive it to the field for you. We'll let you look at it for 5 minutes. I'm doing it right now with the gentleman in South Moorhead. He drove up to the farm. He looked at it for 5 minutes and said, okay, I turned around and left. It was that easy because we're trying to make it simple for the customer, the consumer. And once he said yes, we just digitally send all the paperwork, a DocuSign, so to speak, and it's all over and done. When you need maintenance or repairs, we're there for you again. We have, for sure, 18 drivers. I just took them all out to lunch a couple weeks ago, so I know there are 18 there for sure. So we have a great supply of retired folks that help us out at drop of a hat to come and pick your vehicle up for that repair, for the maintenance, or if you're looking for another one.
Okay.
We need 15 minutes, is what I say, and drive time. 15 minutes to get organized and just the drive time to get to you.
Perfect. Yeah.
Okay. Ward, I've got a question when it comes to what farmers are looking for. And are they looking for more half tons, three quarters? Is there kind of a breakdown of what you're getting percentage wise of what they're buying?
Yeah. You know, the half ton pickup is definitely a staple in the industry. A lot of them drive it just like a car, so to speak. It's what they drive to church. It's what they drive to get parts. It's what they drive to the implement dealer. There's certainly a need and demand for the bigger three-quarter ton, one truck, one ton when they're pulling equipment, chemicals, different, you know, pieces of utility equipment in general. So there's demand, but the half ton is the go-to for a lot of it. The workhorse is the Super Duty, and it's there to serve. It's amazing what it does.
And how have go ahead, Bridget. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, just the payload. All I ever see are fuel tanks and whatnot.
Yeah. No, it's they build it to fit the need. There's no question. And when everybody asks me, how do they sell a million of these a year? I just say drive one. They have all kinds of little engineering things they've done. They build them to make life easier. They build them to last so you can depend on it. When a farmer, it's go time, planting, harvesting time, they need that equipment to also work. And a pickup is considered a piece of equipment. They need it to function. They need to pull. They need to haul. They need to be able to make sure it can get into town in some inclement weather possibly to get parts. It's a big part of their world, that's for sure. And we're very proud and happy to help them out with that.
That's awesome. And Ward, what about if somebody's looking for some employment? You've got employment opportunities down in Wahpeton, don't you?
We really do. We're really looking for every position. We're growing. We're so excited about the growth we're going through. We're expanding, but we also expand through technology. So what we do, a lot of people don't think, well, I'm not built to work in the car business. That's not true. We employ everybody when it comes to every position. You don't need to have experience to sell cars. If you like technology, if you like social media, I'm the dealership. We really embrace social media. We like to do things different. It's not a matter of sitting in the showroom looking out the glass window. Actually, I don't even want them there. I'm always like, go somewhere else. Customers aren't here. They're where they want to be. They're in the field. They're on the dock. They're in their backyard. I'm always, go find them. Go have fun with them. It's amazing what can happen. I sell more cars personally somewhere else than at the dealership. I always have. So I try and encourage everybody else to do the same.
Where's the biggest, quote-unquote, place you sell cars outside of the dealership?
It's 100% social. And, of course, Really? Social means a million things. Restaurants is absolutely right at the top. I've been with my wife for a lot of years, almost 40 years.
Okay.
And so she's used to that conversation.
Would you get married at 10?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. 12 and a half.
Yeah. So she's survived with me a long time. But it is fun. Everywhere we go, a lot of it is restaurant-related. And people will walk up, or somebody we know will just ask, they always say, I hate to bother you or talk about work, but it's no problem. It's what I do. I love doing it. So anytime, anywhere, happy to help.
And if you love what you do, it's not work.
Absolutely.
That's no truer saying than that.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm 32 years into it. I'm very proud of that. It's the only thing I've done since college. Fell out of college, and here I am.
So if somebody's thinking, hey, I'm pretty good at social media. I'm good, but I just don't, I've never done sales before. Obviously, you have to have somewhat of an outgoing personality, or not necessarily.
Anytime you're just comfortable talking to people, we're not about selling. Literally, when you go through the training with me or with the team, it's really about helping. I obsess with the word help. We're here to help people, not sell the people. And if we're helping you, it's a much easier conversation and transition from what color do you have to yes, I'll take it. So it's, we just want to help. And that's what I always say. Anybody in the showroom, if I walk up to it, what are you trying to accomplish? It's 100% of the time what I say. And they'll say, well, our family's growing, or I just retired, or I need to bought a great big, fifth wheel camper we want to pull around this summer, or a new boat. It's really that easy. We're not here to complicate it. We don't want it to be a 3 or 4 hour experience. I literally want to give you everything you want to know in 15 minutes. It's hard to believe. It's hard to imagine. But I don't have anything else to say after 15 minutes. So I want to give you what you want in that time period and keep it simple. Keep it very simple. We'll use a lot of technology, too, right, which we're very proud of.
Bridget, I think I found my side hustle here. I'm going to talk to him after the show here.
Absolutely.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that, and I do appreciate, as a kid who grew up with a lot of Fords around me, I do appreciate the heritage and the tradition of being built Ford Tough and how much time they've spent on the farm. So that blue oval means a lot to a number of people.
No doubt. And Ward, if anybody wants to get a hold of you, what's the best way?
You know, we always push everybody to our website. It's drivewithvision.com. That's drivewithvision.com. It has all of our phone numbers on. Sometimes it's hard to remember all that information, sure. But just drivewithvision.com. You can apply for job. You can apply for credit. We literally will give you pre-approval right on the website. So there's a lot of us don't know. Again, it's simplicity, and doing it fast is really our goal. So we look forward to hearing from anybody.
Good deal. Ward, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Love being here. It was fun.
All right, good deal. Well, when we come back, we're going to have our weather trivia. So if you're interested in winning one of our Darter Industry heavy-duty, beautiful rain gauges, you got a chance coming up right after the break. Don't go anywhere.
And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. And, you know, really appreciate Ward from Vision Ford coming to visit with us today. He's one of our Here We Grow sponsors, the same as we would have with Red River Attention Authority. When Brian Feuder joins us, we talk about projects they're doing up and down the Red River Valley in conjunction with so many other agencies. And then also Gowan USA. Gowan USA is not only here for our fungicide and weed control, but if you haven't checked out our Facebook page, YouTube page, and more, you really should, because we have a video that just went up today, and that is highlighting our rain gauges that were built by Darter Industries. But Marsha from Gowan has also made purchases of other items from Darter Industries. And speaking of that rain gauge, Dean, are you ready to give one away today?
All right. If you want to win one of those rain gauges, here's your chance. 701-293-9000. Today's weather trivia question. What color? This is a simple one, isn't it? What color is the sun? What color is the sun? 701-293-9000. Come on, that's easy. 701-293-9000.
I don't know. I can't stare at it.
Well, maybe welder glasses. I don't. The question of the day: what color is the sun? Caller, line one. Can I get your name, please?
Bob.
Bob, what is your answer? What's the color of the sun?
God, it could go two different ways. I'm going to say yellow and then sometimes orange.
Nope, that is not right, but thanks for calling. All right. We have a caller on line two. Hold on. Here we go. Caller on line two. Can I get your name, please?
Jeff.
Jeff, what is your answer? What's the color of the sun?
We have color on line two.
Orange.
Orange? That is not correct. Sorry. All right, we'll go to caller on line three. Caller, what's your name, please?
Larry.
Larry, what's the color of the sun?
White.
You are correct. It is white. Bridget, it was kind of a trick question. The reason it appears either yellow, red, or orange is as the sun's rays, the light, comes through our atmosphere, it appears either one of those three colors, depending on the scattering of the light rays. But in actuality, if viewed from outer space, the color of the sun is white. So congratulations. We're going to put you on hold, and Addison, our producer, will get your info, and you could swing by the station and get one of those heavy-duty rain gauges. Great answer.
Thank you.
All right. So we've got a few minutes left. So, go ahead, Bridget.
Dean, I got to tell you, first of all, I think what you're telling me is that all my childhood drawings of a yellow sun are wrong.
Right.
So I'll be fixing those. And secondly, I want people to know that you're going to have more opportunities to win some of those fantastic rain gauges. And one of them is going to be, we're very close to starting. Well, actually, we can start it now. If you have a guess for the number of bushels of wheat you think we're going to take off this quarter, we've got 20 acres. We want you to make guesses like you've done on our corn and our soybeans, and you can respond to those on our Facebook page. You can also send them directly to me, ag@flagfamily.com. So start guessing what you think our bushels are going to be for our wheat. Those who come closest without going over have the opportunity to win one of those National Weather Service approved rain gauges from Darter Industries.
And
looking
they are
forward
not-
to watching that. Yeah.
And they are nice. They are very, very nice. Well, let's recap the weather real quick. We've got a wide variety of temperatures across the area. We're in the upper 50s and low 60s in Lakes Country. You go in the Northern Valley and temperatures are in the mid 70s. There's a little more sunshine up north. And in the Central Southern Valley, we're generally in the mid to upper 60s. And we'll top out today, depending where you're at, up north, upper 70s. The rest of us, looks like 60s to low 70s with light winds out of the southeast. We can't totally rule out an isolated pop-up shower, but most areas remaining dry. And then down into the upper 40s tonight, and then we start our warming trend. Upper 70s, mid to upper 70s with partly cloudy skies on Thursday, and then summer heat returns starting Friday, mid 80s, and then we're right around 90 degrees as we head into the upcoming weekend with dry conditions. Our next chance of showers and storms comes in here Monday night and especially Tuesday of next week. And this weather is brought to you by Progressive Ag Risk Management Specialists. So some really nice weather if you're a fan of the summer heat, Bridget. That is on its way. We'll have our rain next week. And if you missed it earlier, it looks like widespread 1 to 2 inches of rain across much of the state over the next, let's say, over the next week to 10 days. And some spots could pick up some locally higher amounts, as usual you get under some of those thunderstorms. Now, by later next week, with the couple of storms coming in, some of those storms could produce severe weather. So that's something we'll keep an eye on. And again, that's the last thing we want with the fresh crops coming up, and that wouldn't be good. So, let's hope we can hold the severe weather back. But, the rain, again, it's still needed. So that'll be on its way. So for Bridget, myself, we want to thank everybody for joining us here today on Weather and Ag in Focus. Don't go anywhere. The Jay Thomas Show, that's coming up next.